D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Christ is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Just watch the way people vote with their feet. Watch where the net flow of immigration is in the world today. Is it from Christian countries to non-Christian countries or the other way around?
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to this Christmas edition of Truths That Transform, a viewer-supported program of D. James Kennedy Ministries. My name is Frank Wright. Whether they know it or not, virtually the entire world is right now acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ in some way. Despite the many attempts to strip Christ from Christmas, he is still the reason this time of year is unlike any other. Joining us to discuss Christ's impact is our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb. Along with Dr. D. James Kennedy, Jerry is co-author of the book, What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? Jerry, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's good
Frank.
To have you with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Jerry, the radical secularists are working tirelessly to strip Christ from Christmas, and they've had some measure of success, but not completely, have they?
That's absolutely true, and they remind me of the Grinch. And it's interesting that even the Supreme Court has ruled that it's okay to have a manger scene if you have enough plastic reindeers or whatever to surround it. And yet some would interpret things in such a way that they would have no reference at all to Jesus Christ. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus is the light of the world, and even secular people put out lights at Christmas time and great displays of light, and they all remind us that Jesus, the light of the world, has come into our dark world.
So even the secular traditions of a Christmas celebration ultimately point back to the arrival of the Lord of glory on planet Earth.
Yeah, look at all the gift giving. All that gift giving is a reminder of the fact that the original Christmas gifts brought to the baby Jesus were gold, frankincense, and myrrh brought by the wise men who came from the East.
Jerry, you've studied the impact of Christ on cultures and societies from his the earliest days of his coming. What are some of the marks of Christ's arrival on planet Earth that we still see in our culture today, some that perhaps people might not be aware of?
Well, Jesus elevated the value of human life by his coming into the world. And here, 2,000 years later, we have the Good Samaritan ethic at work because Jesus told a parable one day about the Good Samaritan. Jesus taught us to love one another, put that into practice. And so in the Christian era, hospitals were created by Christians. The phenomenon of hospitals. Even to this day, many of the hospitals show their Christian roots by their titles, by their names, like Holy Cross. We see that education for the masses is a Christian ideal. The goal was, especially after the Reformation, if the Reformation is going to stick, people have to be able to read the Bible for themselves, and if they have to be able to read the Bible, they have to be able to read many languages. We're first set to writing by Christians in order to get the Bible translated. Science was an invention of Christians who basically in the late Middle Ages, they thought a rational God had made a rational universe, and it was their goal as scientists to think God's thoughts after him, in the words of Johannes Kepler, the great astronomer. And in fact, virtually all the major branches of science were created by Christians who believed in the Bible. And so I think it's very important to just step back and look at all these incredible things that Christianity's brought to our world. In fact, C.S. Lewis once said this, and I'm going to paraphrase him because I'm taking it out of context, but he said, if Jesus had never come, it would be always winter, but never Christmas.
Christ came to change lives, and his transformational effect on people ultimately transformed whole cultures and societies. We still see the impact of Christ's transformational effect on lives today. Tell us about the new devotional that you've written that people can use to grow in grace and strengthen their faith.
Well, the book is called Strength for Today. And one of the paradoxes of Christianity is, in a sense, you gain strength by acknowledging your weakness. It's the Lord who gives us strength. Mm-hmm. And so it was my goal to cull through more and more of Dr. D. James Kennedy's teaching and provide it in a daily dose so that we could really hear from God and hear what God has to say so we would have strength for today.
And Strength for Today is available now for a generous donation for many of our viewers. And there's information on the screen for them to contact us to that effect. Thank you, Jerry. Great to have you with us.
Sure. Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well. Though we all enjoy the trappings of Christmas, from the music to the trees and lights to the gifts, ultimately one thing is at the very center of Christmas. And if that one thing, Jesus Christ himself, is absent, Christmas is merely a meaningless diversion. Here's my friend and teacher, Dr. D. James Kennedy, with an important reminder from his message, Christmas Without Christ.
There are probably few, if any, words in Scripture more poignant than these. Because there was no room for them in the inn. No room in the inn for Christ. That was at his birth. What about the manager of the inn or the owner of the inn where there was no room for him? Why was that? By the way, let's point out something. The owner or manager of that inn is never mentioned in the Bible. Been a lot of sermons where he's been bashed pretty thoroughly, but he's never even mentioned in the scripture. Why did he not provide a room for him? Well, I would say basically it was probably ignorance. He didn't know who this was. He might have said, well, gee, folks, you know, I can see her in a bad way. And if I had just known, I mean, if you'd only called ahead, we would have reserved something for you. He didn't know. There was no room in the inn. And so he was born in a stable. And not a nice, white, clean stable, but a real stable with the stench of animals around and hay on the floor. This is where he came. This is how he started. There was no room at the beginning, and there was no room later on. You know that he said that the foxes have their holes and the birds their nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. In John 8:1, we're told about the fact that after teaching all day, the meeting was broken up and the people all went to their homes. Now, this next verse is the next chapter, but there were no chapter headings in the beginning, and so we don't usually put them together. But it says, and Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. He had no home to go to. He had nothing. There was no place for him in this world during his life. And now, of course, it's true that there was one band that came when he was born. It was sent by the king. But it was a band of soldiers, and they were sent to kill him, not greet him. He was just never welcomed in this world. And from that day to this, that's still not the case. For example, if you go to North Pole, that's North Pole, Alaska, you'll find, as the Miami Herald said one time, that here in this mythical home of the figure of Santa Claus, Terry Marquette, who is not a mythical figure, but the principal of the local high school, had decided that at Christmas time there was going to be banned the use of the C word. This was not to be heard in the hallowed halls of North Pole High School. After all, we can't have a usurper, Jesus, usurping the glory of their hometown hero, Santa Claus. And I think you'd have to almost agree that Santa Claus pretty well has won the day. I would suggest you go into any drugstore and look at all of the Christmas cards, and I'll bet there are more about Santa Claus by far than there are about Christ. But the students were not to be put down quite so easily. They put up signs all over the campus which said, "Merry Unmentionable." And then they put up other signs that had a C with a circle around it and a slash through it. Mustn't say the C word, that horrible, unmentionable, vile, foul word, Christmas. Well, the parents finally heard about it, and they got together, a good suggestion. And as a group, they went to see the principal. And you know what? Terry Marquette recanted his ban. And once again, at the North Pole High, they're saying, "Merry Christmas." Well, a lot of people don't know. There may be some people right here, even in this sanctuary and this Advent season, who don't really know who he was. And there are millions of people in this country today that don't have a clue who Jesus Christ is. I asked a child living next to us one time, I said, "Whose birthday do we celebrate on Christmas?" And he said, "Santa Claus." Well, he's typical of a whole lot of adults, so they know it has to do with Christ, but most of them don't know who Christ is. He was a great teacher, a great prophet. He was a good man. Well, let me reveal something to you, and I hope you'll never forget this. You may ask me to recant, but I won't. Jesus Christ was not a good man. Does that surprise you? If it does, then you've got a problem. You may recall that someone came to Jesus and said, "Good master." And Jesus said, "Uh-uh. Why callest thou me good? There is one good, namely God." And he hung this man up on the horns of a dilemma. Either this man had to recognize that Jesus was the good God, or if he were only a man, he was a bad man. He was a bad teacher, because he taught people that if they trusted in him, they would have everlasting life. How many thousands, how many millions of people gave their lives because Jesus said that he was the divine Son of God and he was dying for the sins of the world? If he were just a teacher, he could not redeem anyone. No man can redeem his brother, the Bible says. No, Jesus was not a good man. He is the very good God, as he said. That cross was not his, but yours. That there he was taking upon himself the wrath of God Almighty, who hates sin with an infinite hatred. He hates sin as much as he loves sinners. And that's the reason for the cross, that he came and died for you. Has Christ come into your life to forgive you and change you? Have you invited him to come in? Have you confessed your sin and your sorrow for your sin? That's the gate that leads to paradise. I hope you found it. It's right in front of you right now. It's shaped like a cross. And Christ is saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
As Dr. Kennedy shared with us in his message, Jesus Christ was not merely a teacher of morals or a religious leader. He was God in human flesh, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. And he not only atoned for sins, but he changes the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Because of that active power alive in the world, even today, Jesus Christ has had a massive effect on culture and on society. Let's take a closer look.
2,000 years ago, in a far corner of the Roman Empire, in subjugated Israel, an itinerant rabbi had an active ministry for 3.5 years, from Galilee to Judea. Jesus of Nazareth went around doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead, and proclaiming good news. He said,
I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
And the world has never been the same ever since.
So much of the greatness of the West, in ideas, in reforms, in science, in music, in the arts, all come back from the influence of Jesus Christ.
Dr. Oz Guinness, the author of more than 20 books on faith issues and senior fellow at the Trinity Forum, highlights what he sees as Christ's greatest impact.
The one that I would fasten on above all others is the creation of a giving, caring culture.
Jesus is the living Son of God who gave us life by dying for us.
Father Francis Martin chairs the Catholic Jewish Theological Studies at the John Paul II Cultural Center in Washington, D.C.
Jesus Christ has been the most powerful influence in the history of the world. The surest proof of the reality and the majesty of Christ today are the people who are closest to him. Beautiful human lives, a Mother Teresa, an Oscar Romeo, a Francis of Assisi.
Thus, the impact of Christianity begins with those lives changed by the transforming power of the gospel.
Drug addicts are throwing down drugs in the name of Jesus. Alcoholics are cracking bottles and never drinking no more in the name of Jesus. Husbands and wives are coming back together and children are coming home in the name of Jesus.
For more than 40 years, the late Dr. E.V. Hill served as the pastor of an inner city church in Watts in the Los Angeles area.
In my congregation, if I have 70 choir members here Sunday, 30 of them have had experience of being delivered from alcohol, from dope, from every kind of sin you can name.
Consider another example of Christ's influence. Go to a library and scan all the thousands of volumes. Every one of them, unless they're undated, has at least an indirect reference to Jesus. Because Jesus coming to earth divided time into B.C., before Christ, and A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. One of the important contributions of Christianity is that it spread the ideas of the Jews, a potentially obscure group, into all the world. Oz Guinness highlights many of the contributions of Judaism to the world via Christianity.
The notion of history being in the line rather than the cycle, or a simple notion like the weekend, which comes from the notion of the Sabbath, or the notion of covenant, which has given rise to the American idea of constitution. There are many, many of these things which are primarily the gifts of the Jews that were mediated, in other words, taken over and distributed to the world by the explosive growth of the church.
It is almost impossible to imagine the depravity of a world that had never been exposed to Christianity.
Daniel Lappin is an Orthodox Jewish rabbi who happens to appreciate the contributions of Jesus.
The easiest way to answer the question of whether life on planet Earth is better because Jesus walked Jerusalem or not is very simple, and that is just watch the way people vote with their feet. Watch where the net flow of immigration is in the world today. Is it from Christian countries to non-Christian countries or the other way around? It's so obvious.
Furthermore, Christianity has given the world many great expressions of art. The most depicted event of all time is the crucifixion of Jesus. Christianity has given art some of its most noble themes, and it has also created great works of art in stone, as in the great cathedrals, such as Notre Dame in Paris or the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. And then, of course, music has been greatly impacted by the Christian faith. Even some atheists will acknowledge this.
Supposing there'd been no Jesus, our musical tradition would be infinitely weaker. Church music and hymn singing, even to those who are not Wholehearted Christians Like Myself is one of the wondrous expressions of the human soul.
But perhaps Christ's greatest contribution to human life is his victory over death by his resurrection. Jesus said,
I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies.
If Jesus had never been born, death would never have been conquered, and none of us would have a future.
I want to give you two ways to interact with us. Remember,
Janet Parshall is a radio talk show host. Her program is heard on stations throughout the country.
I can't quite frankly imagine a world where there hasn't been a Christian influence, because one has to ask themselves the question, if we extrapolate out of the human experience Christianity, what's left? Well, I think that the answer to that question has to be the basic sin nature of man.
Critics of Christianity ask, what about the Crusades or the Inquisition?
There is no excuse for any of them. They are awful, but they are a violation of the teaching of Jesus. They are not a demonstration of the teaching of Jesus.
Dr. Paul Meyer, prolific author and professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University.
When you add the credit side of the ledger against the negative exceptions, you find a vast preponderance to show that if Christ had not been born, we would have a much greater negative side of the ledger than we have today.
Right today, a lady asked me, she said, well, you fellas are preaching, but it ain't working. And I said to her, I said, you know, you can literally go down the street and smell body odor. The soap companies are failing to get their message over. And she said, no, nothing wrong with the soap. You got to use it. Well, there it is. Nothing wrong with Jesus Christ. You got to accept him.
The power of Christ has transformed the world in so many ways, and that power is still available today. The transformative power of Jesus is something you can experience in your own life and also share with others. My friend Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy is here to tell us about two resources that will help you do that. Jennifer, Merry Christmas and welcome.
Merry Christmas. Thank you, Frank. My father, Dr. D. James Kennedy, was passionate about sharing the ways in which Jesus has transformed the world. And he was even more passionate about helping people experience that transformation in their own lives. He believed that human beings created in the image of God were infinitely valuable, and he wanted them to experience heaven in the next life and true change in this one. We've just published a brand new 365-day devotional of my dad's most powerful, life-changing teachings. And we want you to usher in the coming new year with your own copy. It's called Strength for Today. And we'll send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. His frequent co-author, Dr. Jerry Newcomb, has combed through my father's rich body of teachings in order to share these jewels with you. Simply write to us at Box 6084, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online at djameskennedy.org. And in order to help you share the life-changing power of Jesus with others, we have also put together a 2-DVD set of my father's most powerful gospel messages called What's So Amazing About Jesus? We'll send you 2 sets, one for you to keep and one for you to give away, as well as a devotional if you're able to give a generous donation of just $75 or more. You'll also be helping us during this crucial time with the end of the year coming up quickly. We need to meet all of our financial goals and be ready to expand in 2016 with an election coming up that will define our nation. 2016 will be our most important year yet, so please help us enter it strongly. Some generous ministry friends have established a $100,000 matching fund, which means that any gift you give up to that amount before midnight on December 31st will be doubled. If you give $100, it will become $200. If you give $1,000, we'll get $2,000. But if you don't give, we don't get the matching gift. So please, Don't wait. Your donation right now will have double the impact. Simply write to us at Box 6084, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online at djameskennedy.org.
We live today in a culture that has largely lost the concept of shame. We're taught that we define our own existence by how we choose to identify ourselves, and nothing outside of us is allowed to interfere with that. If a famous male athlete now suddenly decides he's a woman, or if a famous singer announces to the world his same-sex attraction, we're somehow expected to genuflect before that self-identification. No judgment allowed. Thank you very much. And if the Supreme Court decides on a whim of personal preference that people of the same sex can now be married, something that has never been true in the history of the world, we're expected to simply abide by that. The problem, however, is that this is all a mirage. There is a perfect judge who created us all, rules over the universe, and declares his hatred against sin. He's the one who created us and defines who we are. He's the one who decides whether our actions merit approval or punishment. And we all stand before his perfect righteousness as rebels and sinners. Dear friends, that would be profoundly bad news if it were not for Christmas. At the first Christmas, the Son of God himself, Jesus Christ, came into the world on a mission from his Father. That mission was ultimately to die in order to pay the penalty of those sins and satisfy the just judgment of God against us. Because Jesus came, we can be declared innocent before God simply by believing in Christ. All he demands in return is that we turn away from our soul-killing and life-destroying sins to trust and follow him. That is why the angel could say, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And that is what makes Christmas a merry time indeed. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us on Truths That Transform. Have a blessed and Merry Christmas. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new."
We look forward to the new beginning that 2016 will provide us.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.